WAMU in Washington, D.C., and PRI, Public Radio International, this is Breaking Ground, a documentary series dedicated to unearthing stories you don't hear elsewhere. I'm Kavita Cardoza. Today we're learning about our nation's military children. We look at how their lives have been shaped by more than a decade of war, punctuated by long separations when their parents deployed. 10-year-old Isis Longoria lives in Fort Bragg in North Carolina. By the way, that sound you hear is the rustling of tissues.
He's the best dad I could ever ask for.
Isis's father has been deployed twice to Iraq and was gone for 3 years.
My dad has been blown up, shot, and it gets me scared that he might not come back.
And how do you deal with it?
Well, on his first deployment, he came back with this thing we call a daddy bear. It's a bear that has his voice recorded in it, and every time I miss him, I just press the button and it talks to me.
What does it say?
It's just saying how much he loves me and how much he's proud of me and what I've accomplished.
Isis says she missed playing basketball in the yard every day with him.
What about in school?
I try to stay focused on my schoolwork because I know that that's what my dad would want me to do.
Most of our country's military children go to public schools. But ISIS is one of a small percentage of military children who attend schools run by the Department of Defense Education Activity. They're also called DoD schools. There are 180 of them around the world, and they serve some 80,000 children. These schools report to the Secretary of Defense rather than the Secretary of Education. They are little known, but may have important lessons to teach us.
I think that was the only center I wanted to talk about.
Fort Bragg is one of the largest army installations in the country. At one of the elementary schools on base, Irwin Intermediate, children have had their parents deploy at least 4 times on average in the past decade. Julie Allen teaches the third grade.
And remember on this one, mistakes are proof that you're
trying.
So please make sure that you give it your best go. Deal?
Deal.
Allen checks in with her 8-year-old students as they rotate through different tables solving math problems. They use blocks, computers, even a board game.
And remember, you're looking for the largest difference.
Oh.
Can you visualize what a triangle looks like?
Got it.
I outsmarted the teacher.
Woohoo!
Students in DoD schools do very well academically. On the 2013 National Assessment of Educational Progress Test, often referred to as the nation's report card, DoD schools did better on average than public schools on both reading and math tests for 4th and 8th graders. And in reading, DoD students in both grades score at the same level as the top-performing states in the nation. Those results are even more striking when you consider that approximately a third of military children move every year and 45% of students in US DoD schools are low income. So, how do they do it? Turns out members of Congress were wondering the same thing. So in 2000, they asked Claire Smirker, an associate professor of public policy and education at Vanderbilt University, to investigate. When Smirker began her research, she expected an easy explanation for the high test scores. Military children have at least one parent who's working, for starters. They also have safe, stable housing and health care.
And I thought it was going to have to do with kind of a strict governance. And we found that there was so much more complexity.
Smirker says DoD school success starts with strong, effective teachers.
Oh, it's a hard one, huh?
As a journalist who covers urban education, I was surprised that of the 50 teachers at Irwin Intermediate, only one is new. I was even more surprised Julie Allen doesn't consider herself a veteran teacher.
I've worked with different student populations, you know, only 8 years.
You've done 8 years, which to me is like a really long time for a teacher.
Okay.
But when I meet Allen's colleagues, I learn that a really long time means something completely different in military schools.
My name is Julie Gibbings. I have taught for 19 years.
I'm Grace Merkel. I have 36 years.
I'm Donna Truelove. This is my 27th year.
A big reason teachers rarely leave the DoD system is because the pay and benefits are much better than in surrounding civilian schools.
I'm Deborah Bailey. This is my 29th year of teaching and my 17th year at Fort Bragg. If I went back to the county now, I would take over a $30,000 a year pay cut. It's probably closer to 40,000.
Smoker says there's a long-term philosophy when it comes to education in these schools.
The commitment to the long term is a clear, distinctive, and unusual quality that we don't see in civilian school systems. Part of that is because they are somewhat politically insulated, and they are not subject to the kinds of political whims or rhetorical wars that civilian schools are sometimes subjected to.
At DoD schools, the curriculum, textbooks, online resources, and graduation requirements are the same, no matter where you live. Next year, all military schools will adopt the Common Core standards, making it easier for military children who move every 2 to 3 years. Otherwise, Smirka says, principals operate fairly independently. That kind of autonomy is often compared to how charter schools operate. But unlike charter schools, military schools have teachers' unions. And union officials and school leadership actually seem to appreciate each other's purpose. Vera Morgan represents 350 teachers on this base.
It's a great give and take from both of us. They're great people.
Principal Ginny Brees agrees.
We do not have an adversarial relationship at all.
Another reason for the DoD school success is the system is well-funded. Mary Ellen Cravotta is showing off the library.
I have spent over $20,000 just this year on books and DVDs. Our resources are unlimited.
According to one study, students in DoD schools receive nearly 20% more funding for each student compared to public schools. Principal Ginny Brees says there's also more support in terms of personnel.
I've got 2 full-time counselors, a full-time nurse. I've got a speech therapist, an occupational therapist. We have 20% of kids on special education, and we have a lot of resources to support those kids.
Jeanette Pena's husband has served for 22 years in the Army. Their children attend Urban Intermediate.
I have a 12-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
You've got 3 boys?
I do. I have 3 boys.
Oh, my God.
It's always a fun day in our house, as soon as we walk in. I know my husband, he loves it, though. He says he has to stretch before he comes into the house, because that's the first thing they do is jump on him.
Pena says her husband has had multiple deployments and has missed half of his 12-year-old son's birthdays.
My son would say his stomach was hurting, and the teacher said he started laying down a lot on the floor. And I said, yeah, I don't know why he's doing that. We'll come to find out from the counselors, he was just missing my husband, and he didn't know, I guess, how to say I miss Daddy.
Pena says she reassured her son all the time, but
as much as we went through it on a map, this is where Daddy is, you know, he's over the Atlantic Ocean, he's over here. He said, Daddy's lost. And, you know, that broke. It still hurts because he'll be deploying again.
He's going to be deploying again?
Yes, shortly. And it takes a toll on the families.
Have you told your children about your husband going off again?
Yes. First thing my son said, you're going to miss my birthday again, huh? You know, so he knows. And we try to do what we have to do, make the best of our situation.
She's grateful that as the family prepares for big changes at home, her son's school will remain a source of stability in their lives. The same sense of togetherness that Fort Bragg schools have can also be found at Quantico Middle High School, a Department of Defense school in Virginia. That's where I meet 16-year-olds Destiny Oakley and Malik Rupert and 17-year-old Emily Sanborn. We're sitting outside in the sunshine.
We're on the JOTC shooting range.
That's the shooting range for members of the Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps. They must see me look surprised at the bullseye targets and guns around us because Destiny laughs.
It's part of their grade and they get medals. I would have never thought that schools teach kids how to properly shoot a gun.
There are lots of ways this school is different from a public school. For starters, it's much smaller.
I came from a public school where my sophomore class was 300 students, and now I have 30 in my junior class.
And that's a really nice thing about this small school, is that you can make the varsity sports teams even if you're absolutely awful like me.
What do you think people can learn from military children?
You may have friends who are not military, who say, oh, I don't want to go to my grandma's house for Thanksgiving, and it just almost seems like a pain to them. You just think to yourself, maybe you shouldn't take it for granted. I think that's something that maybe military kids understand more, is cherishing every moment that you do have, because you don't know what moments you might not have together.
These schools seem to be relatively insulated from some of the most persistent problems facing civilian schools. For example, the black-white achievement gap at DoD schools is significantly lower than the national rate. And in AP exams, black students at these schools outperform their peers nationally. Researcher Claire Smirker says the reason can be traced back to the 1950s.
The military school system was really the first system to racially integrate their schools, because they knew they could not have a racially integrated military if the children of their military members attended racially segregated schools.
She says while the military culture of racial integration may not be perfect, it still sets high expectations for everyone. And Smirker says that's true from the top down. During her research, she asked principals,
"What's your typical attendance for your parent-teacher conferences?" And they looked at each other and they said, "Well, 100%, of course, because the military command ensures that all military members have time and make time to walk over and talk to their children's teachers."
At Quantico Middle High School, daily attendance is around 94%. Quantico's assistant principal, Daniel Mulhern, says discipline issues in his high school are almost non-existent.
I had 10 disciplinary concerns this entire year.
According to Mulhern, those include students who came late to school, talked in class, and had a cell phone ring during a lesson. In 7 years, there's only been one fight. Why? Principals Johnson and Mulhern say in the military, parents can get into trouble if their children misbehave.
The expectations from the command to the military service member is to manage their family.
The seldom times that I have to call the parents, I always have full support. There's never been a, you're picking on my son or daughter. We got it, Mr. Mulhern. We'll have a discussion with our son or daughter this evening.
This educational culture, a mix of high expectations, plenty of resources, strong parental involvement, and a focus on long-term planning, has paid off for DoD schools. But there are changes on the horizon. Recently, as bases built overseas during the Cold War have been closed, more than 40 of these Department of Defense schools have been shuttered. And the majority of the remaining DoD schools need extensive renovation and repair. The Pentagon has commissioned the RAND Corporation, a think tank, to look at how it can best balance cost and quality at DoD schools in the US. Each one will be looked at independently. And while some schools may see no changes, others could be closed or turned into charter schools.